Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
But now we go a little deeper. Do this in remembrance of me. Now be careful, because when you listen to that long enough, and this happened to myself and it happened to the church that I grew up in, when you say remembrance enough, you walk in the door and you think that this is some kind of memorial service. This is not what remember means. Remember is a critical word in Scripture, beginning with Israel in the Old Testament, all the way through the last page. When you remember in Scripture, it means that you remember that God is your priority. And if God is your priority, then His priorities are your priority. And then if He is your priority and His priorities are your priorities, then your life gives glory to Him. So if you've ever wondered or you've struggled with the fact that why does my life not give glory, or I feel like I'm falling short giving God glory, is because He is not your priority and His priorities are not your priorities. So of course you cannot give Him glory. When Scripture talks about remembering, that's what it means. That's what she is saying. That's what God taught Israel way back when. And now when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, again, you click on that key word. And for those Hebrews at that time, for the disciples, it would have just exploded in their mind. Well, so I'm supposed to remember you the way that I remember God. You're supposed to be my priority. Your priorities, Jesus, are supposed to be my priorities. And if you're my priorities, and if your priorities are my priorities, then I give my life, gives you glory. It's not that difficult. It's just about putting Him first. And that's always the hardest part. It's the easiest and also the hardest. But if you've ever wondered, man, I wish my life would give Jesus more glory. I wish I was more about Him. Well, then make Him your priority. Make Him the core of everything that you do and everything that you say and everything that you are. And the rest just kind of easily follows through. And that's what the Bible talks about remembering. So then I don't have to fill in the blank for you when it talks about forgetting. What are we talking about when we say forgetting? We're forgetting God. We're forgetting His priorities. And therefore, my life forgets Him at all. I live for myself. I do not live for Him. So that's what the Bible says in remembering and forgetting. And that is what's happening here. Jesus is saying, every time you come to this table, remember me. Not like some kind of memorial service, you know, where we've done so many and you've been to them, where you have the picture of the person. You got some. That's not what He's saying. He's saying when you come to the table, you're really coming to the foot of that cross. And you're remembering that it was your sin and it was your actions and it was your thoughts and it was your attitudes that God sees. Just because everyone else doesn't see them doesn't mean they're not happening. Okay? God sees it all. God knows it all. He says it was all of that that put me up there. So you come to the foot of the cross and you remember that it was your sin that nailed me to it. It was your sin that put the crown of thorns on me. It was your sin that drove a sword through my side. It was you. It wasn't your neighbor. It wasn't the other guy. It wasn't that other church. No, it was you. And when you remember Jesus that way, you brought to the foot of the cross and then you realize what your sin did, but then you are reminded of how much God loves you. Then you know how deep is His compassion and love for you that He would give what was most precious to Him, the second person of the Trinity, a part of Himself, to rescue little you, tiny little you, spinning in a sea of space on the third rock from the sun. You! He saw you in that moment. And that's why the cross is so beautiful. And Jesus says, remember me when you do that. But let's go deeper, because Scripture always goes deeper, and so does Paul. Then Jesus took the cup. This is the Passover meal. He's turning it into a sacrament by infusing it with eternal meaning. Let's stay within our definition. The cup for Israel was always two things. A cup of wine, obviously, but not for the ridiculous foolishness of our culture of abusing it or taking Instagram pictures of it, which is ridiculous, childish stuff. Israel celebrated the cup in two ways. Celebration or judgment. She celebrated God's goodness. She celebrated the things that God did. She also knew that it represented God's wrath. What does Jesus say in the Garden of Gethsemane? Lord, if it is your will, let this, say it loud, cup pass from me. Why does He say that? I'll tell you why. Psalm 75, verse 8. In the hand of the Lord is a cup full of foaming wine mixed with spices, so it's bitter. He pours it out, and all the wicked of the earth drink it down to its very dregs. In other words, I know it's hard to hear. It's not normal for our politically correct ears. It's not cool to say it in church these days. I don't care. It's a scripture, so we say it here. Whoever doesn't like it can tune out. That's okay with us. But what he is saying is, and what scripture is saying is this, God has prepared a cup of judgment. Those who do not know Jesus Christ will drink the wrath for an eternity to the last bitter herb at the bottom of the cup. It will be an eternal judgment and punishment. This is not a game. This is not some kind of joke. This is not some kind of theater. This is God saying, this is what is prepared for those who end up in eternity without me. God doesn't, now do you notice how God doesn't care about being popular? Because he's God. That's why he talks this way. That's why scripture speaks this way. And he says, and the wicked who will burn for an eternity will drink it down to its very dregs, to the bitter end. They will have to take the wrath of God forever. But church, here's what I say to you. Jesus drinks that very cup at the cross in your place. So if Jesus has drank that cup to its very last bitter herb and dreg at the bottom, then what is the only thing left for you? The cup of celebration, the cup of victory, the cup of salvation. And that's why this is not some kind of memorial service where we think of someone who's long gone. This is a memorial service for a living God, a living Jesus, who drank down the cup of wrath so that you would enjoy the cup of celebration and victory and salvation forever. Now do you see? This is the table. This is what happens every first Sunday of the month. This is not a game. It's how serious it is. That's the delight of the table. But Paul goes just a little bit deeper, and he puts these words in. Again, words of Christ that he's just passing along to us. He says this, whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, can you say the phrase with me? The Lord's death you do proclaim until he returns. So in other words, Paul is saying, the bread takes us deep, remembrance takes us deeper, the cup takes us deeper, but the core, the very bottom of it, when you hit bottom, it's his death. This is death to give you life. And that's why the cup is a new covenant. It's a new promise by God to you. He is committing himself to you, committing himself forever, for eternity to you, that the blood of Christ, the cup of judgment poured out that he drank, the blood of Christ poured out for you makes you pure, makes you holy, makes you clean. And that's why you celebrate and that's why you rejoice. But this is a celebration of death, because out of this death, you have life. And he is saying you will not only participate in this, but notice what he says, you will proclaim it until he returns. So if you're shy about talking about Jesus, lose the shyness. Get rid of it. There's no place in it for you. If you're willing to talk about sports, if you're willing to talk about the latest fashions, if you're willing to talk about careers, if you're willing to talk about 401ks, then you can talk about Jesus too. It can be part of your conversation. You are to participate in order to proclaim. And it's not like tomorrow, because Pastor Adam asked me to, or it kind of made me feel bad about it, until he returns. Until you see the sky ripped open like a piece of paper and Jesus walked through the hole in the sky, you keep talking about him. That's what this table is for. You participate in order to proclaim, to go out, to make a difference until he returns. And when you approach the table, because we're about to close now, with everything that I've just said, it keeps your life in proper perspective. It keeps everything in its place. When you understand the destruction and of his body for you so that you will not be destroyed. When you understand the remembering of Christ as his priority, when you understand the cup of celebration, what it does for you, all of a sudden it's easy to live for him because everything is put into perspective. We close by saying, by talking now about the impact of the table. It's interesting where he says, do not approach it in an unworthy manner, guilty of body and blood. What is he saying? Well, he's already kind of clued you in. You are not to approach the table of the Lord when you have broken, let's start on two levels. When you have broken relationships in your church, So if there's a broken relationship in your church, you need to fix it before you even touch one of these elements. And then you can generalize it and say, you do not approach this table when you have an ongoing kind of just a torn down relationship in your life. You approach someone, you apologize, you try to reconcile, and then you leave it in their hands. As for you, you did your part. You were Jesus until that moment. Now the rest is up to them. But then you approach the table in confidence because you know that you have applied the cross, you have applied Christ, you have applied his forgiveness, his compassion into the relationship. But do not come here with that kind of brokenness lingering in your heart and in your mind and in your soul. That's why, again, we pause before we go to the table to give you a chance to reset yourself. So what does he say? Unworthy manner, guilty of body and blood. Paul is saying, if you disrespect the table in that kind of manner, not only that you bring in factions, not only that you don't understand its meaning, that you're kind of erasing its meaning because you're walking in thinking that you deserve it, because there's brokenness in your church relationships, Paul is saying, you have become the same people and the same crowd that yelled, crucify him. You are spitting on him and kicking him all over again. And Paul is saying, don't do that. Don't do that to Christ. Be one and be forgiving and be the one who tries to redeem the relationship as far as you possibly can, what's within your power. Test yourself before you come to the table. To come to the table in an unworthy manner is, yes, to bring, notice how he reinterprets the word for you, to bring God's judgment on yourself. In other words, God will discipline you. If you've ever wondered, why do I keep bumping into the same problems? Why do I keep having the same, you know, issue in my life? Why do I keep falling into the same sin? And there's a part that's just an ongoing struggle, but there's also just kind of this, I keep hitting the same bump in the road. Why? It's because you're approaching the table in the wrong way. And God is disciplining you. He's not punishing you. He's disciplining you. Do any of you, honestly, do any of you regret when one of your parents, or maybe both, in some cases, pulled out, in my case, it was always the chancleta, right? And they hit you until you got the point. If I asked all of you, if I put a microphone to your face right now, you would say, no, you know what? I needed it. It made me who I am today. It taught me something. I learned limits and rules and discipline from that. Well, guess what? God does the same. So if you're kind of stuck, if you're kind of, you know, flat tire screeching down the road, if you keep hitting the same pothole again and again, it's because you are not approaching this table, which is the only place where it can be fixed, where it can be healed, where it can be redeemed. You're approaching it in the wrong way. And God is going to discipline you until you get it. He doesn't do it because he's mad at you. He does it because he loves you. Because all of you would tell me, yeah, when my mom or dad pulled out the chancleta, I did get the high heel once or twice, I have to confess. I was that kind of a kid. It was for my good. It wasn't to hurt me, it was to help me. He will discipline you, church. But he won't judge you for eternal condemnation. That's why Paul used the word discipline. He shifts gears on you there. So what do we have here on top of everything I've just said? A sign, a promise, a means of grace. A sign that God loved you so much that he gave his only son that you might live, that you might enjoy blessing in the here and now, joy in the here and now, and that you would delight with him for an eternity. It is a promise. Every time you see this table and every time you see that cross, you remember that God keeps his word and keeps his promises. Who will go to rescue and save them? I will go, says Jesus. And then it's a means of grace. It's an instrument that communicates power and love and grace and compassion to you so that you can then give that love and that power and that compassion to another. And just in case you're wondering, the beauty of the bread and the cup. The reformer Martin Luther said it best. Christ is in the elements. He is with the elements. He's even under the elements. This is not the real body and blood of Christ, as some churches say. That makes no sense. Christ is at the right hand of the Father. He's not going to make a trip down to earth every time someone breaks the bread for communion. Can you see the logic in that? So Luther said he is in, he is with, and he is under. And that's the power of the Spirit working within these elements to nourish our souls. The beauty of the table is that we physically get to take bread and we physically get to drink from the cup, so it's an experience in real time, in the moment. Not some memorial of someone long gone, but words. I do this for you. I sacrifice myself for you. I die for you. Words that come to life and become visible for us. And the love and the forgiveness that this table produces between us and God and the restoration is the same love, forgiveness, and restoration we're supposed to extend to everyone else. So church, this is what happens at the table. And I pray that you will never look at the table again in the same way after this morning. This is your Savior. This is your Redeemer. This is God's love. This is what's been done for you. Live your life in response to it. Ask for the Holy Spirit's power to live in response to it. And not only will Christ be your priority, and all the priorities will be about him and for him, but your life will finally give him glory, which is really what all of us in the end really want to do, that our lives will give him glory. Let's pray together, church. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you that he was torn and destroyed, that we would be made whole. We thank you that his blood was poured out to wash us clean, to make us new, to not let us be the same. I pray that we would humble ourselves, that we would not allow our pride or our status or our attitudes to walk in those doors. And so, Heavenly Father, I just ask that this table would be a place of change, of radical change in all of our lives. Thank you that you are in the elements. You are with the elements. You are even under the elements. I pray that the Holy Spirit would work through them to refresh and nourish our hearts and our souls. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the gift of Jesus and the table. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.